Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, we are chatting about 45 minutes from the market close. And one thing that we are seeing today is a buy coming in again to the U.S. equity markets. This rally continuing. Now, some of it is on the back of the news that the U.S. might be delaying some of the tariffs that they said they would be putting on Mexican goods. Before we maybe get into that, can you address this general, up at least the last couple of days, the buy that has come into the U.S. equity markets?
Well, like I said the other day, Corey, what was more important to set this up is that the market turned around the other day, or started to, exactly where the bottom was in early March before a big rally. So I think that that's the first thing the market had going for it. If you looked at it technically at that point anyway, the selling was getting to be a little overdone. And at some point, this rally will need to be faded. I don't think in any way, shape, or form, unless there's a major change in the headlines, I don't think this rally takes us to new highs. I think it's a counter trend rally. Maybe we get close to where we were in early March, but at some point, this is going to be ripe to be faded and shorted again. I wouldn't do it today yet, but I think that that point will come. I think that there's a little too much hope maybe baked in. I'm surprised, in a sense, that the market held up and didn't sell off when New York Fed President John Williams made some of the comments he did, because if you look at his perspective, he is in an utterly no hurry to cut interest rates yet. He still thinks that the U.S. economy will continue to grow above trend. He pointed out low unemployment and all the rest of this stuff, so he didn't see any urgency like the markets have baked in. And as I said, I think to you yesterday or the day before, whenever it was we discussed this, the market is probably getting ahead of itself in thinking that the Fed is going to be dragged that easily into lowering rates. I still believe it's going to come, but I don't think that they're going to get an immediate rate cut like a few people seem to have baked in. So I hope this is the case, the market held up because of Williams acting like, well, there's nothing really to worry about, because that's really the fine line that the Fed is dancing on in the first place. Is, you know, there's the risk that if they cut rates sooner rather than later, it could be seen as a panic move. It could be seen as a recognition that things are a lot worse than the Fed itself, let alone the White House, has been claiming. And that might not be a good thing either. So, you know, a lot of this, the market's got some technical strength again. I'm going to be looking at a couple of upside targets where I think it's going to be wise to fade this rally. But again, not yet. We could go higher.
Okay, very interesting. You're very much on the same page as Dana Lyons, who I just chatted with, who said more volatility, buy the dip, sell the rips type of thing. Not expecting a breakout, but also not expecting just a waterfall decline. Can you just elaborate on why you think that the Fed might not be hiking as soon as the markets think that they might be? Right now, a July hike is priced in. You don't think that'll happen, or you're still kind of up in the air?
We mean the July cut.
It's
going to depend on the headlines. You're certainly not going to move in, well, less than 2 weeks now, the week after next, unless something really dire happens, and it probably won't. I think everybody has come to grips with the fact that that there's a chance that these trade wars are going to drag on for a while. Everybody's trying to readjust their expectations somehow or other. But as far as July, I don't know. It's going to depend on what goes on elsewhere. Again, I have no doubt in my mind that, and I've said this long before the Mexican thing, long before China blew up again, that the next move by the Fed will be a rate cut. But I don't think they want to do it any faster than they get forced into it, because, again, they don't want to spend this ammunition too quickly, and then we have a real legitimate problem down the road where we're impacted along with the rest of the world, and they don't have any bullets left in the chamber. So, again, it's as I said the last time you and I spoke, Corey, this is a mess that the Fed and central banking has created in the first place, is that you can't make sensible decisions on monetary policy now. What they should be doing even now, And this is the Jerome Powell of early 2018, when he first came on the job, was to take back more of this policy accommodation of the last 10 years, get rid of some of the artificiality of pricing all throughout the markets, let nature take its course, and gee whiz, what if a couple of companies go bankrupt, or what if we have a small recession for a while or something like that? Wring out some of these excesses, because all the central bank does by doing more QE, by keeping rates low, or at some point inevitably taking them lower again, even than they are right now, is they just perpetuate more of the same imbalances in the markets, the same imbalances that Jerome Powell, again, of early 2018 railed against. And you've heard me use this analogy before. You know, when Paul Volcker came on a job in the late 70s to try and get rid of the dollar weakness and all runaway inflation and so forth, he did all of that at the expense of what at the time in the early 80s was the worst downturn the economy had experienced since the 1930s. And after he overdid it in that direction, he went the other way. And it took that man about 3 years or so to go from hawk to a dove. It took this guy 11 months. So, you know, the price that we're all going to pay for that, Corey, later on, is that you're going to have all of these imbalances and leverage loans and junk bonds and so forth just continue to fester until a shoe drops someplace and we have a crisis again.
I know. It's been very fascinating to see just how different Jerome Powell is right now from when he got into the Fed chairman role. But there's been so much other noise that's happened around him with all these trade wars, too. And now the market seems to be forcing him into some rate cuts, probably sooner than he wanted to. Can we also talk about the U.S. dollar, though? The U.S. dollar continues its general weakness. When I mentioned the dollar being weak to you off mic, you said, you know what, it's not quite time to jump on that whole weak term for the dollar because it hasn't broken its uptrend line, which is absolutely right. But we have seen a bit more choppiness, at least in the last about month or two. What do you think about this recent weakness in the dollar?
I don't think it's much of anything. Today specifically, it's all courtesy of an inexplicable, at least to me, rally in the euro. And if I've said it before, I'll say it again. Anybody that is bullish on the euro needs their head examined with what's going on over there. So you had Mario Draghi come out, and this guy's full of more crap than a Christmas goose half of the time, and spout some mumbo jumbo. He cut growth expectations for the next 2 years, but raised it for this year. He said there's no risk of actual deflation in the eurozone, which is laughable because it's in front of everybody. And so for whatever reason, maybe people looking at these comments and still trying to push the Fed into an earlier move, the currency traders decided to go lurch a little bit more in the direction of the euro as opposed to the dollar. But nothing, zero, has changed fundamentally for the eurozone. It's going to get worse. You've got more rumblings out of Italy. You know, this is probably going to be a very brief flash in the pan counter trend rally for the euro, which will inevitably go back the other direction because it has no business rising whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of people do still want to jump on that negative dollar move, but you point out a good point is that Europe is still just a basket case and a disaster, and just the way that dollar index is made up, I'm not jumping on a negative dollar, at least right now, and even though it has been moving down, you bring up a good point off mic that it hasn't broken that uptrend line. Can we also touch on gold, too? Because gold is holding up quite nicely, even as the U.S. markets are rallying. Now, maybe that is because the U.S. dollar is moving down a little bit today, but gold still hasn't quite broken out to, let's say, a 52-week high or even a high just for this year. What do you think about still the strength in the gold market?
A day like today, Corey, leads me to believe that 1350 or 60 overhead resistance that's been intractable for some time might get broken to the upside sooner than I think, because gold should be pulling back and it's not. And especially with the stock market rallying, and gold just doesn't want to surrender any of its recent gains. So that's good stuff. I still think that there is a risk that if the week after next, the Fed does not telegraph that it's going to cut rates in July, and especially if this, what seems to be, for all practical purposes, a postponement, technically it's not, but we won't get into that, of these tariffs on Mexico, and the president gets home from Europe and puts his head together with everybody else and with Mexico, which has been hugely conciliatory. They do not want this fight with the U.S. They want to do and say almost whatever it takes to avoid it. And if the president's own people get to him and tell him, like I said to you last Friday, that this was a dumbass thing to do in the first place, when he had reclaimed a lot of political capital in isolating his fight with China, which is where it belongs, and not so much with everybody else, and then he went and reversed that, I hope that these tariffs with Mexico don't go into effect and that they find some other way that allows the president to save face to do something more meaningful about the immigration problem, which needs to be done, no question about it. But I think if you see that happen and that removes some of the fears from the marketplace, and on top of that, the Fed doesn't panic right away and doesn't give any signal of that, then maybe gold does stay capped. But I'll tell you what, the corner has most definitely been turned. You remember that I got sector bullish on gold as an asset class late last year for the first time in several years. And I'm four square in that camp, that the corner's been turned, and it's only a matter of time before we see it really on the launching pad when the Fed has to move and perhaps move aggressively. That's probably not coming yet, but it's coming down the road.
Okay. Yeah, Chris, you were making that call late last year, which is a good one. Gold has been moving generally higher, so it's an interesting market. And right now, I think a lot of people still are waiting for that Fed cut, but then again, it might not be coming just as soon as all, especially the precious metal bulls hope, but for still a lot of people, the way the market has shifted so dramatically. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks again for taking some time this afternoon, and have a great rest of your day.